Book of Matthew, chapter number 25. Matthew, chapter number 25. I was torn this morning. I was torn on what to preach. I kind of wanted to preach this morning instead of the message that I preached this morning. But God just didn't give me peace about it, and God didn't give me a freedom about it. I know this morning we preached a hard message, but you know, God knew who was going to be here this morning. Amen. And God knew what the need was this morning. And several hands were raised of folks that needed to hear that message this morning. And I tell you what, we need to heed the message that God gave us. I tell you what, there is danger and destruction. Amen. In compromising and dabbling in sin. We look around our churches and we see our young people fading away. We see our churches are failing and falling away, and we wonder why. It's because we've compromised with sin. Right. Amen. We've made it to be too casual. We've made it to be too easy. We've made it to be too comfortable. Amen. And people are just taking God for granted. Good, godly people. And we're seeing the results in our families, generationally. The further the family goes on, the further they're getting away from God. And you know what God told Cain, don't you? Sin lies at the door. We don't have anybody else to blame but us. Amen? We can't blame the world because we've compromised. Amen? We can't blame the world because we wanted to crawl in bed with the world. And now we've got fleas from the world. Amen. Sin lies at the door. We need to take accountability and stand up and say, Lord, it's time to quit compromising. It's time to quit dilly-dallying around, running around. And I wanted to preach this message this morning. In Matthew 25, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. But before we begin reading, I want you to understand the Lord is speaking here. Jesus himself is speaking. And as we begin verse 25, we hear the parable of the 10 virgins. And then we hear the parable of the talents. Amen. And then we hear the parable of the sheep and the goats. Chapter 25 of the book of Matthew is a book of warning to be prepared. It's a book of warning for the lost person. I believe the 10 virgins were a picture to the lost that they need to be prepared. Because once the bridegroom comes, it's too late. If you're not saved when Jesus gets here, you're not going to be saved after he comes. Amen. And I believe the parable of the talents is a message to the church to be busy doing what the Lord has told us to do. He's given us something to do. And we're going to be held accountable one day. Just like the lost man will be held accountable for every time they heard the word of God preached and they've rejected it. The child of God will be held accountable for every time that the Lord has given us something to do and we refuse to do it. Sometimes just a simple thing of handing out a gospel tract. Just walking up to a stranger and say, could I give you this? Or would you accept this? And God, who is no respecter of persons, will one day sit on his throne of judgment, just like a shepherd as he separates his sheep and his goats. And he's going to judge according to his righteous judgment. He's going to judge our works at the judgment seat of Christ according to his righteous judgment. You know, he's not going to, I'm going to use Sister Mary. She's diligent. She's faithful. I believe if you look up Christian woman in the dictionary, there could be a picture of her right there, and it would be very apt and very fitting. And she never wants anybody to make over her. But the thing of it is, when Sister Mary stands at the judgment seat of Christ, she's not going to be judged because we think she's such a sweet and wonderful person and such a good Christian. She's going to be judged by the righteousness of Christ, just like I will and just like everyone else will. He's given us something to do. And if he would say to you today, it's time, would you be ready? In chapter 25, beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Are you ready tonight? Are you saved and are you ready? If Jesus would call you tonight out of this world, or if the Lord would come tonight in the rapture, are you saved and are you sure that if you was to die tonight, that you'd go to that place that Jesus has prepared? Are you ready? You need to be. There's not another opportunity. If Jesus came tonight, Christian, and you know you're saved, and you know that God has given you something to do, and you know that there's a work for each and every one of us. None of us have been given the title of pew warmer. We've all been commissioned into the army of God, and we've all been commissioned to a job. We have different ways and different means of fulfilling our job, but we've all been given something to do. Have you fulfilled what God has given you to do? Are you ready tonight? Are you ready tonight? I want to preach to the church tonight five things that we see right here in this passage of Scripture, this parable of the talents. And, you know, sometimes we preach this about our talent, about our abilities to sing and to make music or to teach or to witness and to do different things. Sure, God has given us all an ability. God has given us all a talent. God has given us all something that we can do. Amen. And he's going to hold us responsible for what we do with what he's given us. But let me show you five things that we'll see here in the Word of God that are paramount and that are important to the work that he's called you to do, to the talents that he's given you and what he's required of you. Number one, is success of our labor is proportional directly to our industry. Amen. In other words, we only get back what we're going to put in. Amen. We're only going to reap what we sow. We're only going to find what we're able to work and doing to accomplish something for the cause of Christ. He's given each one of us a work to do. He's told us to go into the world and to make disciples. He's told us to go into the world and preach the gospel. He's told us to go into the world and baptize and make converts to the church and to increase and to grow the bride of Christ, but that's only going to happen to the extent to which we're willing to do it. Amen. 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 If the preachers preach, and we got to ask ourselves, am I preaching what God wants me to preach? I don't preach to tickle ears. I preach to please God. I don't preach to please you. I preach to please God. Amen. Is the preacher preaching? Are the deacons deaconing? Amen. Are the teachers teaching? Amen. Are the witnesses witnessing? Amen. Are the comforters comforting? In other words, are you doing what God has for you to do? You're only going to see results for your labor if you're willing to do what God wants you to do. Amen. You know, I raise a garden. It turns into a weeds a whole lot, but I only get out of my garden what I put into it. Right. Amen. Nothing just miraculously just pops up. I got to go out. Matter of fact, I was out the other day disking everything up and getting ready and was hoping maybe yesterday morning to get some seeds planted, some things in the ground. It's been warm. It's a little early, I know, but I'm anxious and I want to get some cabbage and some kale and some of them cold crops in the ground. But you know what? They're not going to grow if I don't get them in the ground. If I don't do the work that's required to see something happen, it's never going to happen. But the problem is there's a lot of laziness amongst God's people. You say, well, preacher, you should be doing this. And you should. The preacher, it's not my job to do everything. That's right, amen. 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 It's not my job to do everything. My job's to preach. Amen. My job's to pastor. My job is to study. Amen. My job is to prepare. I know what my job is. You know how I know what my job is? Because I can look in the Bible and the Bible tells me what my job is. Amen. You know how the deacon knows what his job is? Because he can look in the Bible and he can find out what his job is. You know how the teacher knows what their job is? Because they can look in the Bible and the Bible tells them. You know, you older women are to teach the younger women. Amen. There's things that are to be done. There's things that are to be accomplished. And the Bible tells us how to do them. And if the Bible don't specifically tell you how to do them, the Bible gives you a model of how to do it. You know, one of the things I try to hold to in everything we do, or if somebody brings something to me, I don't care if it's a problem. I don't care if it's a ministry somebody's wanting to do or whatever. I want to see a biblical model. Amen. You know, there's all kinds of ministries. There's all kinds of things that sound right, but they're not right. Amen. I want to see a biblical model for what we're doing. Amen. Church growth, there's a biblical model for it. Witnessing, there's a biblical model for it. Preaching, there's a biblical model for it. Amen. Even the deacons and deaconing, there's a biblical model for it, for what needs to be done. Amen. But it doesn't get done if we don't do it. And Paul addressed this problem in Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians. Look, in chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, Paul says this, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. In other words, Paul said, I was an example. I can hold myself up as an example because I know what I was doing was done according to what God would have me to do. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. I think Paul is very plain right there. Amen? Paul is very clear right there that in our churches, there's work for all of us to do, and we all need to be busy doing it. We're never going to see a return. We're not going to see souls won. We're not going to see people come through the door and fill the pews of this church if the church isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. Amen. Amen. Plain and simple. It's really easy. We only get what we put into it. We only get what we do. We can only be the example, or we see the results of our example, maybe. I don't know. Paul said, I've done the things that I've done that I might be an example. Amen. Maybe we're being a poor example. Just saying. Just throwing it out there. Amen. But God didn't give any of us nothing to do. From the very beginning, God has always had something for man to do. When he placed man in garden, a perfect man and a perfect woman, in a perfect world, in a perfect environment, he gave them a job to do. Adam and Eve had work to do. They just didn't lay around the Garden of Eden and, you know, somebody come by and drop the grapes in their mouth as they laid back on their chaise lounge, as I think some people picture it. But God gave them a job to do in the garden. They were the gardeners. They were to dress the garden. Amen. They had a work to do. From the beginning, there's been a work to do. And guess what? There's still a work to do. Amen. There's still much work to do. And we need to be busy. And we need to get to working. And we need to do things that we might see God move in our midst, and God move in our families, and God move in our neighborhoods, God move in our church, and God do the things that only God can do, because God's people were faithful to doing what he'd have them to do. Amen. You don't agree with that? It's the truth. Amen. Look what he said in verse 16, 18. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 talents more. He that had the 2 talents went and traded with them, and he made 2 talents more. But he that did nothing got what? Nothing. Amen. Amen. Just remember that. If you do nothing, you'll get nothing. Amen. If your church is doing nothing, we'll see it diminish. We won't see it grow. If your church isn't busy about the master's business, it won't grow. Number 2, God always supplies what you need to do what he wants you to do. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. He gave them all a job. He gave them all a responsibility, and he supplied what they needed to fulfill the responsibility that he gave them. Amen. They were all his servants. They were all his stewards. You're someone's servant, what's your responsibility to? Your master. Amen. And God gave them what they needed. The master gave them. God gives us each one what we need. Sometimes we make excuses. Amen. We try. I did for years. I made every excuse under the sun. I'm not a great speaker. I don't have real plain speech. And boy, I would love to be able to enunciate and to talk and to pronounce some words like Brother Jeff Faggart. Man, that baritone voice and, perfect pronunciation. And, man, he doesn't miss a beat, man. That man just impresses me. Hey, man, I love to hear him preach. Hey, man. But God said, quit making excuses. Amen. Amen. I made all kinds of, y'all do too. Don't look at me like, I'm something. Y'all got your own excuses. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm too bashful. Afraid and with drugger screaming and hollering, and my lands, what a singer. What a talent. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. We're this and we're that. You're not the first person that ever tried the excuse game with God. Amen. We all do. Amen. We all do. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. I'm just too backwards. I'm just too shy. I'm just too this and I'm just too that. God called Moses and told Moses to go do something. And what's the first thing that Moses started doing? I can't. My wife can tell you, my kids can tell you, I've had a saying, I use it all the time. Can't, never could do nothing. It might not be grammatically correct, but it's true nevertheless. Amen. Can't, never could do nothing. I tell my guys at work, can't, never could do nothing. Amen. I don't want to hear, I can't. Somebody has got to fix the thing, and you say, well, I can't. If I got to go get somebody else to come fix it, what do I need you for? Amen. Hey, man, can't, never could do nothing. It might take you a little longer. It might be a little harder. It might be a little more stressful on you than it is somebody else. But praise God, you're never going to get anything done if you got a bad case of the I can'ts. Amen. Hey, man. Moses said, well, God... if you look over, if you want to read it, if you turn over in Exodus chapter 4, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're going to say you're not credible. Amen. God said, don't worry about that. I got that covered. He said, what's that there in your hand? He said, it's my staff, my rod. He said, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it turned into a serpent. And the Bible said Moses backed away. And God said, don't back away from it. Go grab it by the tail and pick it up. And it became a rod. It became his staff again. Amen. Moses wasn't satisfied with that. And God said, look, he said, put your hand into your garment, into your coat or whatever it is, your jacket, and he stuck his hand in his jacket and he says, take your hand back out. And when he took his hand back out, his hand was leprous. One of the most dreaded diseases of the ancient world. And God said, now put your hand back in. He put his hand back in, and when he took it out again, his hand was normal. And Moses said, well, that's all right. Signs and wonders might do a whole lot of stuff. It might do a whole lot of good. He said, but God, he said, I don't talk plain. I don't have good speech. I don't know. They said of Paul, everybody thinks of Paul being this great orator or whatever the right word is for it, that he was some dynamic preacher. But when you read over in 2 Corinthians, you hear that they talked to Paul's contemptible speech. I don't think Paul had a voice that you really wanted to listen to for a long time, that was pleasing to listen to. Let's put it that way. But man, when he preached in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, it wasn't about Paul, it was about the Lord. Moses said, Lord, I'm just not of plain speech. I got a problem. I don't know if he stuttered. I don't know if he had a southern drawl so bad they couldn't understand what he was saying. Amen. I go down and see my sisters, and I've been around folks from the south all my life. And I go to North Carolina to see the bunch in North Carolina, and I got a I got to decipher North Carolina draw. Amen? We go down to West Virginia and see folks and family in West Virginia. You got to decipher the West Virginia draw. Amen? You go to Boston, and I've worked around a lot of guys from Boston, and they would talk about things, and they would say things, and I'd say that again? You know, you'd have to decipher. I don't know what Moses was worried about, what Moses was complaining about. But God said, don't worry about it. He said, who made your tongue? Amen? Don't worry about it. You know, that's our problem. We got excuses. Amen? And we got excuses why we can't do what God wants us to do. And we draw on our excuses. And God says, what are you worried about? Who do you think made all this to begin with? Who do you think made you? Who do you think give you that voice? Who do you think give you that ability? Who do you think is going to use you? I tell you what, God's going to use her in a great way. Because she don't want to be. Amen. She don't want to be. And man, what a voice, what an ability. And, you know, so many people like that. I just pick on her all the time, so I'm just not pointing her out. We got kids in here that, look at Carly back there. Nobody thought she would ever sing. But I caught me some kids out in the fellowship hall one night and said, I would like to see some young people in our church start singing. And I said, you know what? I know you can sing. Would you sing? She said, yeah. And I seen Carly standing over there. And I got down there close to Carly and everybody says, you ought to hear her sing. Carly can sing. And I said, Carly, I want to hear some young people in our church a-singing. Will you sing? Said, yeah. And Bryson, he sung a few times. I said, I got a couple ladies that need somebody to sing with them. Would you sing? He said, yeah. Amen. They didn't want to tell the pastor no. Amen. And you know what? God has blessed my heart. Every time they have got up to sing, he has blessed my heart with the songs that they've sung and with what they got for. You know why? Because they realized it's not in themselves that they're doing this. They got great abilities. But praise God, God can take what they give him and use it in a mighty way. Use it to be a great blessing. God will supply what you need. Amen. I needed some young singers. God supplied them. Amen. And I got them to singing, and a few more start popping out of the woodwork here and there. Amen. And praise God, I'm glad to see what God's doing in young people's lives. Amen. God supplies what you need. Number three, and this is going to get you, we're not all created equal. That's not politically correct, but it's scripturally correct. Amen. Amen. Everybody doesn't get the same trophy. There are winners and losers. Amen. We are not all created equal. Amen. Look in verse number 15. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. That word several there means his ability as a servant. Amen. He gave everyone according to his several ability and then took his leave. You can't be expected to do what God hasn't called you to do. God doesn't expect you to do what he hasn't called you to do. Amen. Amen. If God hasn't called you to preach, there's no need to try to preach. Amen. There's been many a man that's tried to do it. Amen. And has made a bigger mess out of the Word of God than someone who's humbled themselves and listened to God. Amen. If God hasn't called you to be a teacher, don't try to be a teacher. Be a helper. Find a teacher that needs a helper. Amen. It's not in everybody's ability to teach. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I had young people one time tell me they'd rather stick a pickle eye in their fork or a pickle fork in their eye. I mean, pickle eye, listen to that. A pickle fork in their eye than to listen to a certain individual teach. And I know that's cruel, but we don't all have that ability. We all might want to be that individual, but friends, we just all don't have it. I make it perfectly clear when we get up that my wife sings and I make a joyful noise. Amen. I want to be perfectly clear on that. I don't want to deceive anybody into thinking that I think that I'm a singer. Amen? But I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. My wife is a singer. Amen? I have people all the time. People all the time talk to me about her singing. They'll be talking about a song we sung, and they could care less about the part that I sung. And they want to talk about her. Amen. She's probably one of the best harmony singers in this part of the country. Amen. I've heard more people tell me that. More singing groups, more singers that know her and have heard her have said that. And I'm not saying that because she's my wife and I'm bragging on her. I'm just bragging on her because she's my wife and because it's true. Amen. It's true. But that's her ability. A teacher, she loves to teach kids. Amen. Amen. She started teaching a class that was everybody was going down there, and all they were doing was basically playing with Play-Doh, and they was messing around with that. Was that play? That's Play-Doh, ain't that the junk they call you? Hey, they was playing with Play-Doh, and they would give them a paper, and they would take it home. And she went down there and started teaching. And she's got the youngest class. She went down there and started teaching these kids, and you know what parents started saying? They actually know the lesson. You know why? Because she teaches it. Because God has given her that ability. Now you put me in a room with a bunch of kids and, you know, I'm probably going to wind up in jail somewhere. Amen? I mean, my kids were fortunate they made it to adulthood. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? That's why God gives them a mom and a dad. Amen. Sometimes the exorcist and mom would come out too, though. Amen. That's why they have a mom and a dad. Because fortunately, most of the time, one of us is in a good mood. Amen. But God gives us abilities to do things. And we don't all have the same ability. But don't feel bad because you can't teach. Don't feel bad because you don't sing. Don't feel bad because you don't play an instrument. Don't feel bad because you're not some office and you don't have some particular job that you think has a title in the church. Don't get discouraged because God still has something for you to do, but He will use your abilities to accomplish what needs to be done, irregardless of what it is. Amen. Amen. You know, He needs people that are good cleaners. You know, some people are better cleaners than others. Amen? Y'all didn't get it? Some people are better cleaners than others. Amen? Amen? Some people can do, man, I tell you what, you give Charles or Tom a hunk of wood, Stanley, man, you'd be amazed at what they can do with it. What they can make. They have that ability. We don't all have the same ability, but God will use your ability. I like this saying that says, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Amen. Amen. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He said, now there are diversities of gifts. You know what that means? We're all a little different. Amen. We're all a little different, but the same Spirit And there are differences of administration. We do things, each one of us are going to do things maybe a little bit different. Amen? But it's still the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, God knows that we're not all created equal. We're all a little bit different. We all got our strong points and our weak points, but He's got something for you to do. Amen. Amen. And one day He's going to hold you accountable for what you do. Number four is we got to remember who we're working for. We're not working for Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. Amen? We are not working for our personal egos and our personal gain. We got to remember who we are working. You know, I'm the pastor of this church. I don't work for this church. Amen. I work for the Lord. Amen. He's my boss. He's the one that gives me instruction and direction. He's the one that tells me what to preach, when to preach, where to preach it, and how to preach it. Sometimes I preach hard. Sometimes I preach hard. I preach the way that, you know, he just moves upon me and lets me preach and shows me to preach. But I don't preach to please you. I preach to please God. Amen. And if you do anything to please me, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you want to make sure that the pastor is happy, and, you know, as the head of this church and the leader of the church and the shepherd of the church, I have a responsibility to be aware of everything that's going on, and I know that, but you don't do it to please me. You do it to please God. Amen. Amen. And if you're doing it to please God, 99.9% of the time, the way you're doing it is going to please me.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. But we got to remember who it is that we're working for. Mm-hmm. And why we're working. Because He has gave us a responsibility to do a job for Him that He knows that we're capable of accomplishing. Amen. Paul says, as he's writing to the Thessalonian church, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our fathers, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The reason they done what they were doing, the reason why they were such a blessing to Paul, was because they were trying to please God. Mm-hmm. Knowing, therefore, your election of God. God was first and foremost. God was the reason for the labor that they did. God was the reason for the church that existed. God was the purpose that they were doing everything. Amen? If you read down through 19 to 27, you find out that everything they were doing with the talents that God had given them wasn't for themselves, but it was for the Master. It was for their Lord. Number five, we are accountable for what we do with what God gives us.
Amen.
Verse 29, it says, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Friends, we're all going to stand accountable before God.
Amen.
All the talent that God has given you, and 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 you, each and every one of you got a talent. It's not all the same talent, but you all have a talent. All you have a talent. an ability that God has given you, and God will supply what you need to fulfill the needs of that talent to do a labor and a work for Him that He's called you to do. To go into the world and make disciples. And you will stand accountable for what you do with what He's given you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If Jesus was to call you right now and say, it's time to come home. If Jesus was to step out on the cloud and say, it's time to take the church out. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to stand before that judgment seat? Are you satisfied with what you're doing and how you're doing it for his behalf? So we stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.